Great praise and worship. Thank you so very much, team. That was, you know, what do? Right out of heaven, right? Hallelujah. I was thinking about the blood as we were singing. There was a song about the cross and the blood. And this time of the year, we realize that we have this time of honoring the resurrected King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who's Jesus Christ. And it was the blood that freed us from sin. And it was a terrible price to pay, but when the price was paid, then we can walk in freedom. We can walk in the liberty that God has given us through the blood of Jesus. And you know, what a daddy. You know, when we were singing about the Father, what a daddy. He'd do anything. He'd go as far as it could go, to the place of even sacrificing his son for each one of us, that we could go free. Pretty powerful stuff. And yeah, this time of the year is good to remember, but the resurrected Lord is the most powerful thing that happened on planet Earth. 2,000 years ago, today, in the future, and in the past, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. But we have an opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God with our tithes and offerings. Yeah, it's kind of it's a great opportunity to expand yourself. You know, I was thinking about our God as a pattern God, and then I'd like to say our God is also a principle God. And you know, whether it be in sowing and reaping, whatever it is, God has his principles. Whether it be in any realm, our God lays out principles to us so that we can walk in them and be prosperous. You do the right principle, you get the right result. Amen. Jeff, would you come? If you're making out a check, you can make it payable to the community church. God bless you in your giving today. It's an honor to be able to pour our finances into something that's alive and good. And just listening to the team here, that's alive and good. And I know that William has a powerful message, so that's going to be alive and good. So let's do this. It'll be great. All right. All right. Thank you, ladies. Jamie, thank you. Darla, did you notice that? Good. I'm just messing with one of the congregation. Bless you, kids. All right. Okay. Okay, we will dismiss the kids. So any of you kids that are wanting to go along with the gang, they'll have a great, great message for you. You can take advantage of that. Amen. Well, happy spring time. We're in the spring. We're going to find out this week that it's going to be in spring. You remember maybe in this last 2 weeks, it was 24 below, and then it was going to change to about 30 above, so 24, 30, so we were going to get 55 degree. And actually, we're going to do that again. It sounds like it's going to be 44, 45 degrees, maybe up to 50. So that'd be cool.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, put a smile on all of our faces. Oh, yeah. Oh, I have a good brother in the Lord. A son, definitely a son in the faith, has traveled extensively throughout different places, whether it be Africa or in the Middle East, not the Middle East as far as the Far East, but he's going to be sharing with us. So let's give William Packard a good community church welcome. Bless you, buddy. We're ready to receive from you. Love you, big guy.
Love you. Well, Pastor Jake asked me to share, and my first thought was, no. But that's kind of really one of the testimonies of my life where, you know, there's things where I don't really want to step out into. But usually what ends up coming out of my mouth is what God wants me to do anyway. So apparently God has something for me to share this morning. And I was just kind of thinking, you know, I asked Pastor Jake, I was like, do you want anything specific or, you know, any kind of theme? And he's like, nope, just share what's been going on in your life. And I was like, okay, I can do that. So I was even just thinking about what to share. And I even thought, I was like, well, when was the last time I actually shared up in front of a group of people? And I was kind of thinking about it, and well, when was the last time I was overseas? That was in January of 2020. It's like, okay, well, it was before that because I didn't actually share anything on that trip. We were just in a bunch of small meetings, JP and myself. But it was actually at a men's camp in South Africa that I had shared at. And I was like, man, has it been that long, really? But just kind of thinking and just pondering even what's been going on like this last season of time. For me, especially in 2020, you know, a lot of people really had a hard time with what was going on, stress, difficulty, people lost jobs, and that kind of thing. But I was really blessed. I had a job where I was considered an essential worker, so I actually worked a lot more than I did prior to that and everything. But I was just amazed, just the last season of time, how much extra time I had to even just consider and ponder things that were going on in the world, just even in my own life too. And I was like, okay, God, well, what do you have in store for this next season of my life? And I think it was just this last season of time, probably more than any other season of my life, where I was just really focused on God and what his plan was for my life. And I still really don't have, know the full course of what's gonna happen. I know things are starting to open up, and we have some trips coming up, trips planned and everything like that. But I've really just been encouraged what God has really done in my life to take me from the point where I've grown up here in this church. We started coming here when I was 11 years old, and I'm 41 now, so we've been here almost 30 years. And yeah, got spirit filled when I was here at the church, and just the path that God's brought me on, just considering that. And in the last season of time too, I'm tend to be a real analytical person. I think about stuff a lot. And sometimes it gets me in trouble because I tend to overanalyze things a little bit and kind of gets in the way of actually what God's trying to do in my life somewhat. But I really just, the last few months, just thinking about God's plan, not just for myself, but like his entire plan for humanity and the plan that, or the part that each of us play in that. And I was just kind of taking, I think God kind of gave me, like, kind of saw things like through his eyes. And the only way I could really explain it was taking a look at a, you know, a giant jigsaw puzzle. You know, you got those big ones that are 5,000, 6,000 pieces or whatever. But really, God's plan for humanity is essentially like that. And each person has a part to play in that plan, a specific part. And there's no other part in that puzzle like that one particular piece. And that ties into exactly who we are, because there's nobody like us. You may have similarities, you might have similar shape to something else, but you'll never fit exactly where that piece is meant to go. And I was thinking even, you know, sometimes it's really the devil tries to lie to us, I think. And he tries to get you to believe, you know, get you looking at, well, so-and-so does this, and man, I wish I could do something like that. I wish I could be up on stage speaking in front of thousands of people. Here you are. And I get up in front of a crowd of 50 people, and my knees are shaking, my hands are shaking. But you know what? I've come to realize that you know, may happen at some point in my life, but in the season right now, it's not what God's called me to do. God's called me to be here. God's called me to pour out the gifting that he's placed in my life, whether it be playing music or here sharing or different things like that. But, you know, just thinking, you know, sometimes I daydream sometimes too, just trying to think of, well, what, you know, I could do this or I could do that, but is it really what God wants me to do? And even just kind of thinking too about different people and as far as, like, you know, the puzzle pieces fitting together. And I've had the opportunity to travel overseas. You know, I always thought of Darla. And, you know, she hasn't been overseas, but a lot of the stuff that she bakes has been. You know, and it's maybe she's meant to go overseas, maybe she's not. But she's still playing a role. She's still playing the piece in that giant the giant puzzle that God has for humanity. And yeah, I think you know, the other thing that God really, or excuse me, the devil tries to do is, like I said, he tries to lie to you, get you to look and try to, he's like, well, I want to be like that person, and really loosen the focus on your identity of who you're actually made to be and what your specific purpose is. But I think the other thing is that the devil's trying to distract you from the overall plan. Because if he can get you to focus on somebody else and trying to look like or try to be like somebody else, well, then you're not fulfilling your part, and you can't fill that piece of that puzzle. So it's really twofold. He's trying to get you out, but then he's also trying to mess up God's plan. And so, and I didn't really have a whole lot to really share, but that was kind of the main deal, was just really kind of looking at the big picture. But I know this the next season, I'm really believing that God has just great things in store, not only for my life and my family, but also for this church. And there's a church that JP and I had gotten connected with in South Africa, in the Johannesburg area. And it's a church, it's a larger church. I think they have about 7,000 members. But it was really unique, just in the different things that they do, different outreaches. And as I've, the time I've spent there and just kind of observing things and how they go, what's going on, I really kind of caught a vision of essentially what our church is meant to do, because they're a training center. They train people up. They train people in, even in the business realms. They have a entrepreneurship program there. And we're just kind of thinking, well, how can, okay, I can kind of see, you know, what essentially kind of what our church, we wouldn't be exactly the same, obviously, but we, I think they would be, we would be something similar to that. But, you know, I just kind of, well, what's the point A to point B? What's the path in between? And so really that's kind of what I've been praying about this last several months. Just, okay, God, how can I help the church here move into the next season that you have for our church, and so that we can flourish and we can grow and we can minister to people that God's called us to minister to. Because people in this church, we have a circle of influence, we have a realm of influence that no other church on earth has. We can't, no other church can reach the people that we can. And the people in this church can't, or excuse me, the people in other churches can't reach the people that we can. And that fits in too with the puzzle. You can't, the pieces that you're connected to aren't connected to the same ones, let's say, Pastor Jake is. I'm not connected to the same pieces that he is. There's some similarities that might be, you know, one or two pieces might be touching the same thing, but there's going to be other ones that that I don't see that I'm not connected to at all. But it's really just beginning to identify, just kind of, you're taking a look at, really considering, like, what is your purpose and what is your identity, so that we can really carry out exactly what God has planned for us to do. And that's actually one of the big changes in my life recently, back a couple years ago when we had gone through the Game Changers class as a church. And, you know, I don't really remember a whole lot of the end stuff, but the first few sessions that we had on it were just completely life-changing for me. Because I've always kind of wondered, you know, like, well, what exactly is my purpose? Like, you know, I've had prophetic words over my life that I have a pastoral call in my life. I was like, well, okay, you know, I've been around pastors my entire life, and I'm not walking the same way that they do. So how do I get from there, from where I'm currently at? But then when we went through the Game Changers class, I kind of, it was a refocus on my life, and I kind of realized who I really am. And getting the foundation on that is I'm really just a child of God, plain and simple. And that's really what all of our identities are. We're all children of God. It's like, well, what exactly does that mean? And it's kind of like, well, I think even with my natural father, when I was younger, I liked to tinker around with different things and try to create different things. Like I had how I could turn off my light switch from without having to get out of my bed. So I rigged up this whole string system going, because I had a ceiling fan in there, so I couldn't like drop it straight down to the light. So I had to angle it over to the wall and then somehow rig up like nails and little ropes to hold the string in there. But it's the same kind of thing with God. You know, everything that he has, we have access to. You know, I don't necessarily have to, I should, go to my dad if I'm going to be tinkering around with stuff and putting holes in walls. You know, I should probably ask before I do something like that, but I usually did. Maybe my dad didn't really know about all this stuff, but he does know. But, you know, if we need healing in our lives, we can go to God. Just like a son would go to his father, or a daughter would go to his mother, or a daughter to father, or daughter to, or a son to mother. And just everything that God has, we have access to. And I think I finally caught, I mean, we understand that, but do we really have a revelation of exactly what that means? And so you understand it, but you're not really walking in that. It's like, well, yeah, I have access to everything, but, you know, I'm going to go to the doctor for, you know, medication because I'm feeling sick. I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to the doctor ever, but because God can use that too. But I think a lot of times that's really like our first thing that we do. It's like, I feel sick, I need to go to the doctor. Instead of really getting on my knees, it's like, God, I need your help, I need your healing. You know exactly what's going on. You know everything that's happening. You know why it's happening. And so I just need to seek you and figure out, not even figure out, I guess, need to have you touch my life. Or if there's just different situations and different things that you're dealing with, we don't necessarily have to go to counselor room. And again, I'm not condemning that in any way. But you can just go to God and say, God, I need help in this situation. I need guidance. I don't know what I'm supposed to do in this situation. I don't know what this whole purpose of this situation is. But I can go to God, and he can give me guidance. And, you know, sometimes he doesn't really give you the answer that you necessarily want. And sometimes he'll make you do things that you don't necessarily want to do. just like this morning, I didn't necessarily want to be up speaking in front of people. But it's what God wanted me to do. And I just needed to be obedient. And that's one thing I've also kind of learned the last 10, 12 years that I've been traveling around with JP and different people is, you know, God really doesn't, he doesn't require much of us. And really the only thing that he's looking for is obedience and humility. Because if you got those two things, God can do anything through you. I think that's why he was able to take the group of disciples that he had from all different walks of life, and he was able to use them to turn around or flip the world upside down with just those 12 guys. He had fishermen, he had tax collectors, carpenters. And it's just, but God saw in their lives that peace that they had in that puzzle for humanity. And yeah, just really amazed when I was thinking on those things, just how everything works together and how somebody is doing something over here affects what I'm doing here. And I thought, you know, Pastor Jake and going through Bible college and him teaching us and JP being a part of that as well, the places that JP and I have gone, you have a big part of. In Zambia, Africa, back in, it was in 2013, we were there with a group of, a couple other guys, but speaking at a kind of a conference, literally out in the middle of nowhere in the bush of Africa. And it was the craziest thing. A revival broke out. I think JP shared a message, and the pastor of the church there just grabbed a hold of it. And it was just instantly changed. But out of that, that day, 2,000 people committed to Christ. You know, some of them were already born again, but they committed to working for the church, working for God, and doing different things. But it was crazy because we were supposed to be at that, in that area for 3 or 4 days, and that was the time when we were there and JP's dad passed away. And so it was just that one day we were there. But out of that, God has just done miraculous things. It's been a revival that's even spread over in across the border into Zimbabwe. And I don't have any recent numbers, but as of like a year or two ago, there had been over 500,000 people that had been reached. And 50,000 leaders had been raised up. So the church here has a part of that. And even in Nepal, and I know Dad's been there with me, and just the revival that's happening among the youth there, because you've poured into my life and poured into JP, there's a revival happening amongst the youth in Nepal. And it's different. It's happening all over the world. And just I think the devil tries to lie to us and say, like, well, I don't really matter. You do. Whether you see it or not, you matter. Whether you're actually the main person pouring into somebody's life or you give them a bit of a nugget every now and then, it's important. And I've kind of realized sometimes, too, that you know, we sometimes want to be like the main person involved with somebody's life. Well, God doesn't necessarily, that's not necessarily God's plan for it. It's like you may only have influence in that person's life for a season of time. To place a nugget in there, place a seed for somebody else to water and for somebody else to see that to come through in the harvest and fruitfulness. And we have to be okay with that because that's part of God's plan. And just looking at everything, and we don't necessarily know how what we do affects somebody else. We just need to play our part and do what we've called to do. So that was basically what I had to share this morning.
Thank you, William. Appreciate that. You know, isn't it really the simple things that we just go out and do that changes lives around us? And I know, you know, well, I'm going to get 15 chapters of this Bible book, and I'm going to go through that with everyone. Sometimes it's just a word. Hey, you know what? People are needing Christ. And when I left my place this morning, it was I raise up disciples, and disciples are disciplined learners. And pretty much what William was saying, a disciplined learner. You're obedient, and then you go and do what you said that you're going to do, or what God tells you to do. And I was thinking about the scripture in 1 Corinthians 12. It calls it, and you were talking about the puzzle, and each piece is so important. And I know that my mom used to, I mean, she was a puzzle person. When it was, she'd put it together. But you know what was very, very irritating? If there was one piece that was missing, it didn't, you know, it was like, well, how about that one piece? Well, we lost it. And, you know, it kind of took away from the picture. And I think that sometimes we have to realize that everyone is very, very important. And I've found that out to be, whether they be the little kids in praise and worship and some of the stuff they do, it just brings such joy to my life. And it's, you know, every picture tells a story. And so you see their lives, and you go, and, you know, a couple of years down the line, you see another part of that picture. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant," which is a good thing. "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit." Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. On this earth, you know, when it comes down to it, God so loved something, and that was us, that he sent his most important part, which is Jesus. And in doing that, he saved us from destruction of our own lives, our family's lives, and people around us. Like we start talking about, you know, 1,000 people giving their life to Christ. You were talking 50,000 people. Well, it has to start somewhere. You know, and it might be with a simple testimony of, I received Jesus Christ into my life. And I remember doing that on Super Bowl Sunday many, many years ago, and it changed my life. And I know that you remember doing the same thing, and it has changed your life. Well, the same business that Jesus was in at that time when it changed your life, he's still in that business. Amen. So now there's diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are difference of administration, but the same Lord, and there's a diversity of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another an interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and that self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. You know what? God's in control. And he's in control of all these things that I just read. But that makes up the puzzle. Each piece of the puzzle, he'll take that. And that's why when we get together, we have a plan. And the plan is to glorify God, to lift up God, to lift up the kingdom of God that's on the earth today. You know, if we don't realize that, there's a kingdom that is being built right now. And William, as he was sharing about another place. And I find out about other places, they're kind of like the same place as we are in right now. People are sharing the gospel. You think about on Sunday morning, how many people are sharing the gospel throughout the earth? I mean, literally thousands. And on a Sunday morning, probably not exactly at the same times, but millions of people have come together to bring the most important thing that we have is Jesus and all of his glory from his Father. And then he said, I'm not going to leave your comfort list. I'm not leaving you just out there in the brush. I am going to send the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to keep on reminding you. I'm going to keep on encouraging you. I'm going to keep on reaching out to you. And if you've fallen down, Jesus and the Holy Spirit will lift you up. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you understanding. And, you know, the fact is, he does. And I've been doing a lot of studying on just prayer. And I shouldn't say just prayer, because prayer is a very, very powerful thing. When you pray and believe, things start happening around you. And it might take a season of time, but a good chance it took a season of time to get you into the shape that you were in, right? I mean, I went for 26 years, and I was a good mess. Well, I worked on it for 26 years, you know. And so when God doesn't straighten you out in a week and a half or a month and a half, that doesn't mean that God isn't working. You should give him at least a year. You know, after a year, they said Jake, which was my nickname. Jake, he's dead, man. He, you know, I wasn't going to the VF anymore. I wasn't hanging out with all my old buddies that weren't so much my old buddies. And found a whole new world to live in, which was called the kingdom of God. And so I just encourage all of us to just call upon thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because that's a prayer. When heaven opens up its portals, things start happening on earth that's unbelievable. And you can be in impossible situations, but you pray, heaven will open up. And that was pretty much what the Lord's Prayer was all about. He opens up heaven so the angelic and the answers from heaven will come to earth and start changing. People in Africa, and wherever you're going, you make the difference. Because you're brave enough to do it, obedient enough to be crazy enough to do it, and keep doing it. And if you think you're insignificant, then you've got the wrong mindset. You've got the wrong mindset. Your mindset is, I'm more than a conqueror. Nothing is impossible, but we're using what God sent to us is Jesus Christ and everything that he has, which is everything. Amen. Why don't we stand up and let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We come this morning into our region, into Thief River Falls area, and many small towns around here, and different people I know, they're struggling in some way or another. First of all, Lord, we ask for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to draw them to Christ, to be a new creation in Christ, that their lives could be changed, that someone would be brave enough, someone would step out like William went to Africa, but will you go to Goodrich? Will you go to Oakley? Will you go to Red Lake Falls? Will you go? And then, and to share that simple truth that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever, and he wants to change people's lives. And God, I thank you so much for praise and worship, because you said that in a prophetic word, you said that praise and worship is going to become something that people will desire so much, because there's going to be a discovery of who God is in praise and worship. So we release that upon our region, our area, upon these little cities, and God, that their lives will be changed by the power not of man, but of God. And we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thanks a lot, Willie. I appreciate you sharing. Make sure that you do some greeting, talking with the people in the congregation before you leave. And God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus. If there's anyone that is needing prayer,